Our subject this afternoon is, of course, thoughts and devices. But this title is somewhat contrived. Probably the image of the computerized head and the word devices will give you a hint as to what we mean. And there's these two verses on the screen, Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In Isaiah 55:9, for as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Well, as it so happens, the word for devices in this first verse and thoughts in the second verse is the same word. It's the same word, 4284. In Hebrew, it's machshavot, and I'm looking at Brother Ken, if he's here. If not, I'm thinking of Brother Ken. Oh, here, there he is. Okay, thank you. We kind of started liking the Hebrew language some time ago and enjoy the various word studies. It was very amusing and intriguing for me to find recently that in Hebrew, the word for thought and computer is connected. In fact, there is even a podcast called Machshavim v'Machshavot, which means thoughts and computers. A little on how the developments in technology, in the progress in the last few decades, especially with computers, have affected thoughts of mankind. Whether they have contributed and affected mankind to make some progress in the direction where they would want to or need to be according to God's plan. Have they accelerated because of that? I think we hopefully will have a blessing looking at a few points. We'd like to reflect on the effect and the connection between thoughts and computers and devices, and perhaps even compare what God's thoughts are about mankind and his plans and the fact that he has allowed this development of technology to occur at this time. And of course, we will see the many different economic and social and individual examples of impact, how devices impact us. We'll touch on some prophetic and kingdom effects of these, as well as opportunities and warnings for the Lord's people. And of course, as you know, this is a very broad topic, and so we will leave so much more for discussion, fellowship, and questions as well. But we start with an interesting article from 1898, reprint 2393, when there is a conversation between a minister and probably one of the Bible students on the train, and it's actually given in a form of a dialogue where Alpha says, "Is this seat engaged?" And Beta says, "No, it's at your service, and I'll be pleased to have your company." And during the course of this trip on the train, a conversation occurs about how fast they are going at 50 miles an hour and how they are very very impressed by the effect that the technology has on the progress. And the comment here is, we evidently the all-wise God, the author of the Bible, which he caused to be written by his various instruments and agents, knew very well what would be the result of letting in on the proper light at the proper moment to cooperate all the features of his great and wonderful plan of the ages. And so we remember the scripture that they'll be running to and fro. And in this article, that scripture is quite emphasized. And we see that from the early days, it was the transportation, the improvement in steamboats, in railroads, in building regular highways for cars and introducing this opportunity for people to travel and get together quickly and frequently that contributed to this progress. Commingling of knowledge of massive proportion, opportunity to exchange views by attending conferences, of course, print and sharing of the knowledge that was discussed, agreed, researched in a vast way. Business activities and competition and even military advancements because of this quick transportation. So when we read the scripture in Daniel 12:4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." We see the importance, the effects, the impact that this communication and transportation, has on us. And when we put the many lines and many connections on the screen, we see that not only is it the physical movement between places that we travel, but it's also the thoughts, the connections, and the connection that the technology has enabled to be traveling, to find yourself suddenly when you just type this www address and suddenly you are at another place in another, on another continent. You're pulling in information from all these different places. You're updated about what's happening, what was found, and what is of interest still. The whole progress is just amazing. Here is a chart of the doubling scale of knowledge, and through technology, especially the recent years, have opened this up to such an extent that the doubling time of medical knowledge, for example, used to be every 50 years in 1950s. Every 7 years in the 1980s. In 2010, it was 3.5 years, and by 2020, it's going to be every 73 days. We are truly overwhelmed, and yet asking the question, why is it this way? Where is it leading? What is the effect of it? People are asking the same question as well. Here is an interview which I didn't want to complicate by playing the video, but these two gentlemen, who are not the yuppies that are dealing with technology, but they certainly have lived a while and have seen how the technology progressed, Mr. Denning and Mr. Lewis, they say that this whole cycle of technical development, from manufacturing, then the demands that is created in the eyes of consumers, the different applications, and as we know, the phrase, there is an app for that. That's the applications and needs to solve problems. And then the revenue that they create, that all is a cycle that is a cycle that continues to be self-propelling. But this is what they say. What's remarkable to us is that it's like a giant ecosystem, and it has become a planetary-wide ecosystem, and it functions. And one of its overall functions is exponential growth, and that all the little pieces are somehow attuned to that. It's pretty amazing that's somehow emerged on our planet. That's what they say in this interview, which of course here we just read. Pretty amazing that somehow that is emerged on our planet. Well, as believers, and especially believers who see that God has a very specific plan for mankind, and that it's not indifferent to him how human history progresses and what lessons mankind is learning, we know that it's not just somehow. But we go back to a book that was written about 150 years ago, if not more. It was Scripture, Meteorology, and Modern Science by Alexander MacLeod, and he observed something like this. He says, "The mind of man discovers and brings to light the latent properties of matter, which are remaining secret since the world began and are thus called forth for their most important service." Latent properties of the matter. That is the observation that he makes. And the word latent, by the way, I didn't know it. Know it very well. It means existing but not yet developed properties of the matter. So the Lord created the world with all the different elements and building blocks that would eventually, ultimately, enable the computing power and tools that are in use by the world today. And as this man, the scientist, observes that these were kept on hold until the time was right. And then when he says, the most acute and thinking minds acquire the greatest power and facility of molding and actuating inert stubborn matter and changing its conditions and effects. Without this law of nature, the power of mind over matter, many substances would remain dormant and motionless, which are now found of the highest value in enterprises of the greatest difficulty and importance. So he says this mind over matter, but it did not really continue in a regular static progression. But like we saw that chart, it escalated at the right time. So we remember or we see the wisdom in the oldest, one of the oldest books in the Bible, the book of Job, who says, observing nature, these are just parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? So the Lord has provided that all these different elements are now able to be used in our daily used devices, for example. And here is a slide of elements of the smartphone, how they correspond to the table of the elements from chemistry, who perhaps some of you know better than I do. However, as you see, all these things existed from the very beginning and were enabled to be brought out in the last few decades. What we see, for example, is this device that in 1956 was being loaded into an airplane, a huge hard drive probably produced by IBM, and it had the capacity, amazing capacity of 5 megabytes, 5 million of bytes of information. If we roll forward about 60 years, we now have this small chip that you see on the right side having 200,000 more capacity in the daily use of everyone. We probably have this, everyone has it in our phone or our computer or device. So where is it leading and what is the impact of this? As we reflected on the lines connecting the different locations, the internet, that is really what this increase of knowledge seemingly has enabled and is again continuing to build on it. We see that the internet assists and is a breakthrough capacity for communications and speed, improves convenience, empowers us to be more quickly educated, increases our creativity by learning and communicating with others, improves commerce and economy for both sides, those who sell and those who want to buy. But there are also, of course, concerns with privacy, with security, unwanted advertisements. However, what it has become up today is that it's a given. It's an obvious thing. It's considered a right to have connection to this information superhighway, as it used to be known, and probably rightly so still is, that we all want to be on it, need it, and really depend on it. And what it really also has created is disruption. That's the word that actually is used so frequently nowadays. The disruption is changing of the way in which things were done previously, with the effect or the interest of improving, of doing things less expensively, of satisfying the choice needs that keep growing the more you present them. One of such phenomenon is called disintermediation. This is where you suddenly cut out the middleman. You don't no longer need to go to this brick and mortar store because you are now so much better served by what you can see online. You can get better educated. You can find better opportunities with travel or banking services. Immediately have the music on your device that you just remembered you heard about 20 years ago. That keeps happening to me, and I think, oh, this was a good tune from Poland 30 years ago, and I'm able to find it on YouTube. We have these software, and we have all these devices. all this enables saturation, sometimes information overload in our lives, but at the same time creates a lot of opportunity, a lot of progress, a lot of momentum, and has an effect on each of us individually. But here's a slide of how disintermediation might actually work. Here's a picture from a book. Probably some of you might even know it from when you read it to your kids, The Tall Bridge Troll. And there's a boy named Trig, and there's a troll who keeps holding him up on the bridge. Well, with the era of technology, that troll might be perhaps a salesman who is trying to approach you in a store and say, well, how can I help you? And maybe you're not really that interested in that type of experience, and you're saying, no, I'm going to find my own way. And sure enough, there is a world of services that happily take away that role, and then little boy will go to them because it's easier, because it's more convenient. And, you know, it creates perhaps a first question that we might ask to ourselves. This is a situation in which we, ourselves, our jobs could be that troll that was there. It's not necessarily that we wanted to be called that way, but we were in some position that was in this intermediary stage between those who need and those who have, and suddenly that is removed. So we see how this is a dynamic on the economy. But from a perspective of the consumer, we as believers want to remember that the great choice that we now have with access to these online goods and goodies and services should still keep us humble and controlled. So we remember this scripture from 1 Corinthians 7:29. We're just studying 1 Corinthians 7, and it's really a discussion of marriage and the priorities that believers should set in their life. But what does the apostle just interject in verse 29 through 31? But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that, we skip the part about marriage, they that rejoice as though rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use the world as not abusing it. For the fashion or scheme of things of this world passeth away. So we see that even though that great accumulation of opportunities is presented to us, we want to be careful and proceed with as though knowing that these things will not last forever, and therefore they are passing away, and as he instructs us over here. So very interesting too how not only we as consumers are able to use things better and take advantage of some things that are so much more convenient, but also that internet is allowing people to connect between one another. There is this number of 150, which is also known as the Dunbar number. This number is apparently the average number of people that you and I know and connect with kind of in a regular life. You know, maybe it's like something that used to be called a tribe, where you kind of are cognizant of approximately 150 people. Maybe that corresponds to the number of cards that you send out for Christmas, or maybe some sort of a wedding size, typically. Somehow you feel that you're connected with about this many people. What we see is that technology has enabled for mankind to be connected with many more people. Perhaps those who we trust, those who are very close to us, remains right around there. And for the brethren and Bible students, maybe our numbers would be higher if we have a very special cause. But technology has really enabled the connections between many people. Here is a man who is presenting a case that we are now migrating from a centralized society to a decentralized society. And that is something quite interesting, because he feels that previously, before the great industrial period, society was quite decentralized. And we remember that perhaps in the period of the judges, that might reflect some of decentralization, where the tribes or communities lived kind of without great oversight, let's say, from a king, and everyone did what they saw was right in their eyes, as the scripture says. So he feels that with technology, with everyone being able to connect and take advantage of similar knowledge, that people can again be in this kind of decentralized model. But as we know, this is not necessarily always the desired effect. Sometimes a centralized, centrally located, authoritative information source is needed. And that's probably how we see that both the scriptural authority, God, Jesus, the mediator between God and man, take these and have these central locations. However, the independence and freedom that people will have when their hearts are changed from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh would enable that less centralized and less perhaps oppressive as it is right now with the world set up. So thinking about that and thinking how we in this modern day and age with our devices, who I think most of us have one with us today, how we connect. And there is this expression in the scriptures, everyone with their neighbor. And we just kind of did a little concordance pull of that phrase, everyone with their neighbor. And on the positive side, here are the things that we can do toward our neighbors, our contacts, our friends. We can help and encourage them. We can teach to know the Lord. We can help them with perhaps some financial matters, release that. We can invite them, as the prophecy says, under fig or vine tree. We can please them for edification, or we can speak the truth with one another. All these scriptures have that phrase, everyone with their neighbor. While the scriptures also have certain negative verses that talk about how there is an opportunity to be not trusting toward your neighbor, to deceive one another, even to lust after one another as in the prophets, not proclaiming liberty, speaking vanity, or be oppressed by one another. And so as we consider this, and as we have oftentimes looked at how great reach our message may have, our personal influence on others over the various networks that we might participate with, that is definitely a consideration that we should have. There is a book that I recently learned about called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. It's written by Tony Ranke, and there is a pretty interesting service, Desiring God, from a pastor that seems to be quite scripture-oriented. This is from his organization as well. So 12 ways in which your phone is changing you. And when we consider how often and how dependent we become of these devices, we try and appreciate the points that this person has brought to our attention. We are addicted to distraction. I'll just read them quickly. We ignore our flesh and blood in favor of our use of the device and of that power of the that it enables for us. We crave immediate approval. We lose our literacy. We feed on the produced. We become like what we like. We get lonely. We get comfortable in secret vices. We lose meaning. We fear missing out. We become harsh to one another, and we lose our place in time. If any of these applies to you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I probably would on many of these. But we want to be mindful of this. We want to, as consecrated followers of Jesus, remember our time commitments, our focus, our priorities, and effect that we have on one another. And speaking about that effect, there's another list of good thoughts about from the same book before you text, tweet, share, or publish something online, honestly ask yourself, will what I'm about to type and post ultimately glorify me or God? Will this stir or muffle healthy affections for Christ? Will it just merely document that I know something that others don't? Will it misrepresent me, or is it authentic? Potentially breed jealousy in others? Will it fortify unity or stir up unnecessary division? Will it build up or tear down? Will it heap guilt or relieve it? Few will lust for sin or warn against it. Will overpromise or instill false hopes in others. So as we see, our thoughts are so important when we get involved in communication with many. And as you know, this network effect that the technology enables creates not only the effect that those who are our friends can see what we say, but also those who are their friends and their friends, and it really grows. Therefore, we can see how much of a blessing we can be with what we say, or how much negative effect we can have. So even though these are not my thoughts, I would definitely appreciate and agree with these principles, and I would think it's important for us to have that knowledge and consideration. Let's switch to another subject, another area in which we definitely see a lot of changes in technology, and that's what's considered as though a next breakthrough in the internet technologies, and that's blockchain, something that's also known as recording the truth. It's a distributed network where it's very important to have cryptography and security in place, and the consensus agreement on what actually has happened, the record of either a transaction or a decision or something that is to be recorded, that agreement is maintained by multiple different contributing machines. And so it's also known as a trustless effect, where you don't need to trust a person because you trust the way in which this information is recorded. This also leads to a centralized versus decentralized system, and the blockchain network is decentralized. So as you can see, where this is possibly going is with the centralized powers that be, and the decentralized effect is having definitely a bit of a question to this, the establishment, to the different governmental or other highly controlled and highly centralized powers, where now, not only is it the technology by itself that's very interesting, but what you can do with it and how you can, in how many ways you can challenge and you can improve or confirm verity of certain things that have happened. So some as well, when I was leaving Poland, there was already the monetary system. And the Zimbabwean, which is in the upper right corner, where there is stones, and they're basically are saying we might go back to using pebbles as money. But what we want to emphasize here is that, you see, the world's governments are trying to do what they can, what they think is best. The men of these states, the faces of these statesmen are pretty sad here. They probably are saying, I think we have failed, and yet the problem continues with, for example, this U.S. debt clock showing large numbers of money that the U.S. government owes. So as we look at these things, we want to remember for our own edification that despite the various technological opportunities and perhaps temptations at times, we want to remember that godliness with contentment is great gain, as says the apostle in 1 Timothy 6:6. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, that it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. So let's be careful as we consider and or participate in these things. Let's be true to our treasure, which is in heaven. We also remember that in this day and age, when there is a lot of controversy and a lot of discussion and dispute, oftentimes online, about politics, we remember that regardless of perhaps where our sympathies are or where we might be leaning, the apostle is saying and reminding us to be thanksgiving for all human beings, including kings and all in positions of prominence, because our objective is to finish our course so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful lives, being godly and upright in everything. And this picture here, which I grew up with, I saw it only in black and white. This is a picture from the Photodrama of Creation on page around 195 that shows the struggle between the haves and the have-nots. And the great day of the Battle of Armageddon is focused on that. Now we see that it has gained new dimensions. Before, the tools that both sides had were the physical power, the money, as we see on the side of the rich, and the hard tools that perhaps were to be used in a physical fight. But now, both sides are equally informed. There is more interest and more ability to find out the truth about how perhaps some power was abused. And there is more desire for justice and freedom. And there is the ability to both share facts and emotions. We see that this is all increasing mankind's collective education and collective desire for truth and justice to be finally brought about. But we can naturally expect that this opposition will grow, and just like this picture shows the old tools, perhaps the new tools now will be used in this struggle. A word of warning as we use these different technologies to be aware of the so-called echo chambers. That's when you go to hear what you like to hear. And through artificial intelligence, which is the systems that help us like things, those systems also show us the things that we have liked. Remember that phrase that said we become like what we like? That's really what's happening. So let's be sure to keep an open mind. And in fact, we have a very good reminder on that from 1 Timothy 4:3. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears wants to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Well, what should we do? You should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. How important is that we remember that even though we can tune in to some very specific area of interest and some perhaps far-fetched idea that's supported by a small group that can amplify it very well, that we keep this balanced approach. We just briefly wanted to also look at new definitions of anarchy. Perhaps we have grown up with the idea that anarchy is someone pounding on your door with some weapon and taking away what you have, or some other lack of government. But nowadays, a new definition is being proposed. Those who will call themselves voluntarists or anarcho-capitalists, such as this gentleman here, Jeff Berwick, he has just organized a conference called Anarchapulco, and this is what he says. All festivities have already begun. All hotels are filling up, full of anarchists in Acapulco, and not a single window will be smashed. Instead, they will be partying, swimming, doing yoga, eating at local restaurants. This is the new anarchist, or voluntarist, for those who still have programmed emotions related to the word anarchy. Well, it remains to be seen whether or not this definition of anarchy is really what's going to be to stand when the world becomes very misguided and goes into basically bits and pieces, because we still have the prophecies such as the one here on the bottom, who will come about in that day in a great panic from the Lord, that will fall on them, that they will seize one another's hand, and one and the hand of one will be lifted against the other. Just wanted to quickly only also mention the artificial intelligence effect. You probably recognize some of these characters from some television shows. There is one here that's Bicentennial Man, a favorite of our family. We actually had a phrase, one is glad to be of service, and I think we should keep that one. There is a lot of fear and concern. I remember riding with a driver, and he was sharing with me the fear that he has that the powers that be, some evil elites, are already preparing some artificially intelligent devices, beings, or machines that can actually, with speed and strength, and without any emotions or ethics, cause great damage and destruction. His fear was real. He thought there is really not a way to fight it. We have our little ways of both feeding and using artificial intelligence with various gadgets such as, say, Amazon Alexa or other things, and they're very helpful to us. But just to address and calm this type of fear, we would remember, for example, this scripture in Ephesians 1:19. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. I think what we want to highlight is whether we ourselves have similar concerns or fears, or if we talk to others, that God's power, no matter how advanced the technology is going to be bringing the solution and bringing the authority in both now and in the world to come. It is for those who are especially led by his will and follow him and are part of his of the group, for example, the church, who is Christ's body, that are assured of that incredible greatness of God's power. We see here that a good reference for us is some proposed remedies, social and financial, in chapter 10 of the Battle of Armageddon. And we once studied that in Chicago and thought all these different categories in which the current social order was to be fixed and corrected. What we want to say is that these are still being entertained. As you see the different words here, such as perhaps protective tariffs or socialism or nationalism, anarchy that we've mentioned, and others, are all being discussed and perhaps will have a new help from these technological devices. But we remember the scripture about healing the Babylon that could not be healed, and us looking forward to that future kingdom in which there is reigns righteousness. And so in a bit of an express tempo, we kind of have thought about various ways in which we want to think about the advancement in technology, the thoughts and devices, which is just the same word in Hebrew, and really understand that God's thoughts are above the devices of man. And whether those are the small things that we have in our pockets that provide so much more functionality for us, or the big systems somewhere in the back end or in the cloud, that we remember their effect may not always be positive for mankind. Sometimes and mostly it seems to improve and perhaps is and will be used for the promulgation of the kingdom. I know that we have used the internet for that as well, and that's necessary to mention. But let's be mindful of this network effects that we have on others and our responsibility. Remember the true treasures in heaven. Be clear-minded, endure suffering for the Lord, and share the truth, and do not fear, and trust the Lord.